SBS Radio.
I'm Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Dale Harding, and we're catching up ahead of his exhibition Through a Lens of Visitation, an exhibition that will be held at the Monash University Museum of Art starting on this Wednesday, 28th of April. Welcome to NITV Radio, Dale.
Good morning. Thank you, Bertrand.
Yeah. Now, take us through, first of all, the name of this exhibition, Through a Lens of Visitation. Why this title and what does it imply?
The show as an exhibition title, but also the publication title, is Through a Lens of Visitation. And the whole research project and the exhibition have been looking at the possibilities and the implications of what visits to Carnarvon Gorge, which is on my mother's parents' territories, visits to Carnarvon Gorge, the implications and what that might mean to the histories of Australian modernisms after key Australian artists visited the Carnarvon Gorge, but also the surrounding areas.
You are presenting this work in collaboration with your mother.
That's correct. The invitation for an exhibition conversation came from Monash University Museum of Art.
Yeah.
And we're exhibiting a series of my previous works over the last few series of works, but also that those groups of works have come together to be aligned with the work that my mother, Kate Harding, was doing in her own practice. So we've, through the exhibition process, commissioned Kate to make a new body of work for Through a Lens of Visitation. And that was work that Kate was already doing in her own life.
Yeah.
Making just in at home and working for her own motivations, but also it lined perfectly with the exhibition project.
Yeah. It says that your previous works give visual expression to the histories of brutality and discrimination against Aboriginal communities. This will be reflected in the exhibition as well.
Somewhat. Yeah, you're correct that previous bodies of work have been looking at the brutalities and the lived experiences of my mother's family, specifically my grandmother's oral histories and her own personal experience. So previous bodies of work have been certainly in that space. The exhibition, those subject matters and currents are still in the work, but also that's not the main focus in this particular show. So the reality of Aboriginal experience in Central Queensland, back into those discussions around domestic servitude and other times under government control.
Yeah.
Specifically, we're looking at new forms, but also the implications across art history with contact with Carnarvon Gorge.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about Carnarvon Gorge and your connection to this land of your mother.
So I grew up in central Queensland.
Yeah.
And my mother's parents, my grandparents, both maintained their unbroken connection, but also their feelings of perhaps responsibility for the futures of Carnarvon Gorge and the surrounding region, which is all largely the gorge and areas like Mount Moffat National Park and Salvatore Rosa National Park. These are all under government control with national parks. But my grandparents, my mother's parents, were specifically interested in maintaining those relationships with the gorge, which is under, you know, the jurisdiction of Queensland National Parks.
There's also part of this, some of your previous work, and there's one that a title that really catches my eye is one title that "What is theirs is ours now. I do not claim to own."
Yes.
Yeah, this one implies a lot of. If you unpack a lot of, it's got a lot of layers to it.
Yeah, I hear that. I welcome that, and that's quite okay.
Yeah.
It's an unfixed statement. It's not necessarily a slogan, it's actually really a proposition or a philosophy or a question even. Yeah.
And goes back to colonialism as well. What's yours is mine. Stolen land. This is what I read from this title.
I can say that's not it wasn't my original intention.
Yeah.
And also I can hear where you're coming from there, that everyone brings to each work, each viewing experience, their own histories.
Yeah. I propose that spectators are an auxiliary motivation for living cultural lives, and that contemporary art is an extension or continuation of the home lives and social lives of communities. And this is a challenge. Yeah, this is one of your quotes. Can you elaborate a little bit more for us on this quote?
you know, my great interest in academic and scholarly research is to be seeing how we can do more to future embed, and also to, you know, rewrite or address the histories of Australian art histories, particularly around the places where, say, in central Queensland, there's been ongoing cultural practices, there's been unbroken connections and you know, community ties to living cultural lives. And my great interest is how can we do more to see that those lives and stories and practices are better understood, that they're shored up for the future, that they're solidified in the families and the communities who actually inherit and live those cultural lives, but also how the greater Australian art history, or, you know, lenses of Australian art can be brought to understand that there are diversities and there are cultural practices which are very specific to families and communities in central Queensland that maybe haven't always been given, afforded or have received the attention or maybe the respect that that they might deserve. And this comes from the fact that cultural practices are lived and just known in families and continued, passed on and shared and taught and learned throughout the family networks that I know in central Queensland, but also my own, and that these are easily and quite beautifully aligned when we can bring them into exhibition practice or into other discourse to see that they are not dissimilar to what we might be learning, say, at a university art college faculty. Yeah.
And another aspect that I'd like to really find a little bit more about is your final use of Reckitt's Blue, a whitening laundry product. How does it come into your art?
It's come into the practice a number of different ways, the Reckitt's Blue laundry powder. I might suggest that I currently don't use that as a material anymore because I've personally ended my contact and my motivation for working with Reckitt's Blue because we can now move beyond that. But the original intention was to echo and even maybe pick up from the ancestral makers who were bringing Reckitt's Blue into their material making in central Queensland, bringing that blue powdered pigment in as a decoration or an intentional material from the 19th century. So there are historical objects that have Reckitt's Blue used on them, not unlike a powdered ochre or a powdered earth pigment. But also I've had intention around the facts and the truths and the realities that Reckitt's Blue was also a very beautiful ultramarine pigment, which also was the stain on the hands of my grandmother and many other Central Queensland Aboriginal women who were indentured into forced labour. I make room for all of those kinds of conversations around the Reckitt's Blue, so I don't seek to fix it to anything in particular because it's very complex. That it's not only a beautiful colour, that ultramarine, you know, stunningly, appealingly beautiful colour, and that those old ancestral makers were bringing that blue into their cultural story in central Queensland and taking that own and claiming it as their own. But also it has this other history, which is heinous. It's heinous, and it's also quite a brutal reality when we get to understand the role of that Reckitt's Blue. So it's complex, and I don't pin it down to anything specific, and I open up that to a conversation.
That's a true artistic style. And now the major publication, Through a Lens of Visitation. Can you tell us a little bit more about this publication?
This is one of the great joys of the exhibition process, is that the publication is somewhat less of an exhibition catalogue and a lot more of a research document. So it's an accompanying document which sees invitation. We sought the scholars, the elders in the field, particularly if Margaret Preston and Sidney Nolan's Australian modernist art practices were intersecting with my mother's territories around Carnarvon Gorge. We sought the scholars who were the experts in those fields. So we sought Dr. Deborah Edwards, who's a scholar on Margaret Preston's art practice. We sought Dr. Nancy Underhill, who's the scholar on Sidney Nolan. And we also sought the skill and expertise of Dr. Anne Stephen, who's an expert in contemporary art practice, but also Australian modernisms in conceptual and minimal practice. But also we have republished, but also had new text provided by Dr. Jackie Huggins. And Auntie Jackie, or Dr. Huggins, is a Abidjara woman, a senior figure in many Australian Aboriginal political discussions. But also the Carnarvon Gorge is very specific to Auntie Jackie's story as well. So we have the publication looking across all these different experts in the field.
Really quite an interesting lineup of elders.
That's the word we were using from the outset, is that who are the elders? Who are the ones who know the most? Who are the experts in those fields? And it is actually a personal, slows me down, and it's an honour that Auntie Jackie has offered and provided new text, that, but also the republishing of one of her existing essays. And to have Auntie Jackie in that conversation is really important, alongside Kate, my mother. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, before I let you go, anything we haven't covered you'd like to bring to the attention of our listeners?
Part of the exhibition process has been to stir questions and to ask some of those, and also to see where we might be among those questions ourselves. And so Through a Lens of Visitation also looks at place, and it looks at who and why and how visitation occurs.
Del Harding, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Bertrand.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.